Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Hey everybody, it's Tuesday. Welcome to the Taxi Meowage. I'm your host, Saverin.
I'm Fuzz.
And this is episode 436.
Rednecks and Cop Cages.
That sure is a title, Fuzz, but we'll get to it. We are recording on a Tuesday.
I was kind of thinking of the cake songs, like, Rednecks and Cop Cages aren't selling this year.
I don't know what you're referencing, Fuzz, but that's okay.
What is it? Something in Waltz. Sad Songs and Waltz is the David Hatch.
Okay. So, well, that's a hell of a Filk song. So, Fuzz and I are here. I think Shiva might have fallen into WoW Classic and is standing in line to kill a boar. So she has not gotten back with us, but that's okay. I hope she's having fun in 2004 version of WoW.
Is that a thing?
Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. WoW Classic launched this week and is incredibly full, and it had things like people literally lining up to get the spawn kill for a named mob you have to kill out of the starting zone, and people self-organized into a queue to wait their turn for that kill to respawn.
So is this back like, oh man, I can't wait to get my character to level 40?
Yeah, where getting a mount cost 90 gold when by that point, if you were lucky, you had like 5.
Little do they know that you just have to go to a FurCon and getting a mount is free.
Yeah, you just gotta not be a shit.
That's true.
So, WoW Classic did launch, and I have zero interest in it. I have Final Fantasy XIV to play. I just finished
anything like they put it in a higher definition, or they
Back to the old models. Like, they're in the gameplay is in a higher resolution, but it's 2004 WoW in the year of our Dark Lord, 2019.
Okay, so it's the 15th anniversary of WoW.
Yeah.
Okay.
And people are digging it, and, you know, more power to them. Because I remember playing...
Kind of fun.
I remember playing WoW in 2006. I got the 99-cent demo disc from Walmart. I still have the damn thing.
There's probably some kids that that came into WoW after the second or third expansion or whatever.
Oh yeah, and they're like, you don't know how good you damn kids have it. Back in the day, you had to feed your pets, and if they died, they lost their happiness, and if they died too much, they would run away, and you would lose that pet. When you had a pet, you caught it, and it was the level it was in the world. So if you wanted a cool looking pet, but it was in a low-level zone, you had to level that bitch to get it up to a usable level. There were so many quality-of-life changes over the game, and according to some gamers, that's socialism. So, let's just say that socialism is good in video games and in real life, and that is going to start us off this week. The gamers are always at it again. You've got things like trans bees, NBs in Minecraft.
We've got
unfortunate news about music producers in video games this week. We've got ship carriers in your very own Starship Praetor in Elite Dangerous, which that's basically the news for it. And some very good gamer-related live streams that occur this week. Plus, you know, the usual bullshit and some furry stuff as well. So, where should we start this week, Fuzz?
I don't know. I'm so confused. Okay, well, I guess I'll explain the title. Just a reference to a tweet that someone made in response to somebody made a really shitty tweet about having an FA where they explored a fantasy of F-word destruction, political play, and toxic masculinity, where I guess if you're role-playing as a MAGA rebel flag guy and beating up gay people or something, and people were like, what the fuck? Anyway, someone replied to it, isn't that weird diaper fur with an obsession with rednecks and cock cages? So we called our episode Rednecks and Cock Cages.
And that's all the brain space we need to give that piece of shit.
Yeah.
So The other furry thing, we're going to start off with that, I guess, is... Okay. So there's going to be a new con in Vegas. And I think it's interesting. I think it's daring. I wish them all the best in their endeavors, because Vegas is a very expensive and hard city to run an event in.
I'm going to go find... excuse me, I have to go and scream into my tantrum hole.
The other question is, what kind of daring is it? Is it the kind of daring where you remove the headphone jack?
No, that's brave. It's dashing and daring, courageous and caring, faithful and friendly, with stories to share.
Didn't know you were Bronyville.
That's gummy bears, bitch.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. So you got it. I didn't know if you would, honestly, but like Ajax is too young to have grown up watching Gummy Bears.
I saw a couple episodes, but I was...
You were cum when that show came out.
He was a grub. He was like four. He was but a wee pup.
Actually, didn't Gummy Bears start in the mid-80s
as a
Saturday morning cartoon, and then it got retroactively added to Disney Afternoon later on?
Right. I wasn't even a sperm cell yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Disney Adventures of the Gummy Bears aired in 1985 to 1981.
Yes! Woo! I have a good memory for useless trivia.
So 7 years older than I am.
Okay, so you weren't even cum yet. Thankfully, we have nailed that down. So, no, this very important thing is its title is, it's just so choice. It really is up there. It's unsubtly named Sin City MerCon. It's a FurCon in Vegas. It's being run by the same overarching organization that runs Denfur. And it is going to be an 18 plus kink and fetish friendly FurCon in Las Vegas, which honestly is probably about the easiest place that you could do any sort of event like that. I mean, they have the fucking porn awards there, right?
Oh, yeah, the ABN.
Yeah, so
I really think that they should move it to Hartford, though, because then it'd be horny in Maine.
Oh,
that's what I'd call the event.
And there was discourse about it, but like,
was there?
I guess, because, I mean, you already see people with, like, pup hoods and stuff at regular ass furry cons, and we had plenty of discourse about that, too.
Mm.
Ultimately, it's pretty harmless if they're not, like, tugging each other around on leashes and, you know, bare-chested and with their harnesses out in public spaces near tourist areas. Like, at Fiesta, we've got that kind of nailed down as to what flies and what doesn't, and it's not a big deal.
Well, I mean, like... There's been, like, a spanking con at the Crown Plaza. And
the
Texas
Bear Roundup happens at the plaza.
And they have, like, just, like, black curtains around and stuff like that. And, like, all the fun stuff happens, like, out of public sight. So if you're there for your wedding, you know, try to ignore the sounds of asses being smacked and screaming and moaning.
But yeah, the Texas Bear Roundup is at the Hyatt downtown, too.
So I'm like, I don't have a problem with an 18 plus only con. It would honestly be nice to go to more cons without having to worry about kiddos or without having to worry about checking ID all the time.
It would certainly make selling books a lot easier.
Yeah. Kink and sex positivity, that's a thing. The only thing I don't like is the name. You know,
it is a bit too on the nose.
I was just sort of like, MerCon? Really?
What was at least it wasn't like a PAFCON joke. Because that was the other thing. It's like, oh my god, you're doing a furry con.
That would have been better. That would have been better.
Plushies and Furries Con, PAFCON. And their mascot could be a roadkill coyote or a dead raccoon.
Right, yeah, that's right. I thought it was a coyote.
Yeah, so I just wanted to bring it up because I think it's interesting. I definitely will have my binoculars out for it occurring. It's like targeted to come in like June of next year, like the weekend after my birthday, I think. And so, cool. I wish them luck. Setting up a con's hard, and making sure that it's an 18 plus event also is going to be a pain. But, I mean, you just check IDs and make sure that nobody's sneaking in.
That's not going to be a pain. Like, you check ID and you don't give them a badge if they're not old enough.
Yeah.
I mean, like, when they literally can't even get inside the building, you know, if they're not old enough.
Yeah, true. I just think it's worth a shot.
I wonder what the venue is. Have you looked into it? Like, is it a casino hotel or is it like an off-the-strip Holiday Inn? Or, I mean, because like if it's in one of the casino hotels, you probably have to be 18 to even be in there.
In a lot of them, like to be on the casino floor, yeah. But yeah, a lot of them also separate out the con space.
Yeah, like BLFC, there's like one, I think there's like one route you can go where you can get to the con space without crossing through a casino. But the casino is, I mean, it obviously set up so that it's like, I was going to say as accessible as possible, but as difficult to avoid as possible. Which, because, I mean, that's the point of the casino. They want your money.
Because Sin City Mercon is an 18 plus event, you have to input your date of birth. So 01-01-1969. 1069, yes. I am ancient and horny. There. June 1st, 1969. That's my birthday. It's at the Renaissance Las Vegas, which I don't know what that is. 3400 Paradise Road, Las Vegas. I don't know if that's on the strip or not. Fuzz, you can look that up. But Sin City Mercon, it's a thing. June 26th, 28th, 2020 in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
More power to them, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, like I was, you know, I'd said before in conversation, like the other thing that makes sense to me is that they're having it the week before Anthrocon.
Yeah, that seems like,
which, I mean, I could, it might be that they were very limited in their time frame and their venue, because that happens. The other thing I thought was, is like if they're making an 18 plus event, maybe for the first year they're trying to somewhat limit attendance. So if they're going for like maybe like 300 people or something like that, because like, you know, Vegas locals will go, you know, and they may go just to hang out, see what's up and everything like that. And that's not going to preclude them from flying to Anthrocon the week after. It is going to slow down their appeal of getting people from out of town, I suppose, because I'm not going to fly to Vegas and then drive to Pittsburgh or fly to Pittsburgh like the weekend after, you know. So maybe it's sort of I could see it being a sort of limiting factor. We don't want it to be like hugely out of control the first year.
Well, plus Anthrocon has its own image that it tries to manage. And this one is being like, hey, we're a bunch of horny furries.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's more like what you want, people will probably go to that if that's what they desire.
Suck my dick, I'm a wolf, suck my dick.
We're recording a podcast, Fuzz, maybe later. So speaking of good furries,
okay,
Sonic Fox did a 72-hour live stream whereupon he was raising money for the Trevor Project. He raised $22,150 over the course of 72 hours, where he was doing things like playing through the story modes of the last three Mortal Kombat games, 9, 10, and 11. And also doing a thing where like if you donated $20, he would run a match with you online and kick your ass for you,
mm-hmm.
Do a mercy, and then totally do a fatality, because that's what you get. So that was really cool, and he raised, you know, think about this pretty magical moment, trans rights, okay. He, like, was doing it in fursuit head, and then off fursuit head. He shaved off his mustache as one of the goals, which, he looks so young! God, he's such a baby! I mean, he's like 22,
mm-hmm.
But he looks so young. And similarly young-looking people, Philosophy Tube, his name's Oliver, the guy who does Philosophy Tube.
Good effort. I mean, not really, but
no. He also raised over 120 grand for Samaritans, which is a crisis hotline in the UK.
By waxing his chest.
Well, he did shave off his mustache as well, mm-hmm. And he, too, is very pretty, but he's also a proper Shakespearean actor who does stage plays in the UK.
Yeah.
So, like, he does the YouTube stuff, but he also does, you know, stage plays.
Yeah.
And he shaved off everything for, like, headshots and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he was, like, did this video where he was covering his mouth, and then he just reveals that he doesn't have his mustache or facial hair anymore, and everyone's like, why are you so pretty? This is unfair.
On a similar note, a friend of mine met Peter Capaldi at a geek con recently. And he, remember, the 12th Doctor had this glorious mane of gray hair.
Yeah.
Like it was huge at one point. It's now shaved down to a buzz cut for whatever he's filming at the moment. And I'm just like, your beautiful hair.
How could you do it?
Grow it back this instant.
This is unacceptable. Get a wig. So, shifting topics to some, I guess, less pleasant news in terms of gaming. Well, okay, so neutral stuff. Hey, Fleet Carriers in Elite Dangerous. That'll be neat. You can have your own big mega ship. It has a bunch of landing pads. It'll make the exploration game a lot more
so different. So it's a new type of ship that you can use?
Okay. It's a big old ship that you can dock other ships on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, refuel and rearm stuff.
So you can be that guy like Jeff Bezos with a yacht that's so big it has smaller yachts inside it?
Yeah.
Like a Russian doll of rich douchebaggery?
Yeah. I mean, in Elite Dangerous, your character is like a space quadrillionaire. You do kind of have more money than God to be a spacer.
Right.
But it just opens up gameplay, so you can go out and be like a deep space refueling stop. Like, hey, I'm moving my ship to this location, so if you need to refuel on your way to blah or repair your shit, my ship is available out there.
And you can even afford to throw like $20 to the Amazon rainforest.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you saw that, the G7 came up with a whole $20 million to try and save the rainforest that is currently being burned.
Yeah.
We should talk about that because this has come up that, like, a lot of the headlines are, oh my God, the Amazon is on fire. And number one, it's the wrong Amazon. And number two, it's not on fire. It's not burning. It's being burned.
It's intentionally arsoned.
It's being... Areas are cleared for livestock because livestock is more profitable, and the government doesn't crack down because they don't give a fuck.
They hate evil. Indigenous people. They're fascists. I mean, the government of Brazil is fascist. Everything around Brazil's politics is incredibly fucked up, and there's some really good, I believe the Antifada, I'll have to like dig up which podcast it was, but there was a really good episode about how like just utterly fucked the political situation in Brazil is right now, and how basically the very popular leader Lula got railroaded and he's essentially a political prisoner. And now I guess they have this fascist Bolsonaro in power.
Yeah. I think Behind the Bastards did a Bolsonaro episode. Yeah. Pretty sure.
There's, you know, he's only been in power for a little while, but he's already got a Behind the Bastards.
Well, like, the thing is, though, is that he's been a bastard since he was a teenager. Like he was signing up for, like, their local, like, Revolutionary Guard or whatever it was, where it was like, let's go kill socialists, basically. And this was back when I think the socialists were in power.
Idolizing Pinochet at all.
So he's been a cunt pretty much his entire life. So, yeah, I mean, and yeah, I was not at all surprised to see the headline that Brazil says no to $20 million of rainforest aid. Because they're not trying to stop it. They want this to happen. And honestly, the fact that like the seven largest economic forces in the world scrounged together $20 million, I'm like, fucking billionaires have lost more of that in the cushions of their couch. And like, and I saw one tweet that was like, hey, how about we ask all those people that were going to donate billions to fix Notre Dame? And then they're like, well, those people haven't actually paid anything.
Yeah.
They just said it to look good at the time. And also, yay, let's give the church billions of dollars. You know, that's a great idea. Not like they're richer than shit anyway.
Yeah. I mean, and the Amazon only produces 20% of the world's oxygen. I mean, what's the big deal, Fuzz? You don't need to breathe.
We still got 80%.
Oxygen's for cucks.
I'll just fucking huff a plant. I mean, they make oxygen.
Right? Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
You got to breathe really heavily onto your plants and just sniff
them. You know, it sucks because I have allergies, but I mean, I guess if I got to shove a rose bush up my nose.
You know,
trim the thorns first.
Yeah, I mean, the pain is just part of the process.
Yeah. Like childbirth or listening to Donald Trump speak.
Or, yeah. Ugh.
Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, when I see a tweet that's got a video of him saying whatever
stupid stuff,
fucking mouth diarrhea he's spewing that day, I'm like, and sometimes I listen because I'm like, did he really say this? Oh, God, he actually did say that. But it has become, like,
it's nails on a fucking chalkboard.
Yes, it is nails on a chalkboard. And not because he has a particularly, like, screechy or squeaky voice or anything like that. It's just that this is the fucking leader of our country. And he just sounds like such a dumbass. And
you're
just like, holy fuck, he makes W look literate.
I'm and like, articulate.
Oh my God. And just... I actually retroactively believe that W actually did read books. I remember at the time, you know, he claimed to read, like, all these books, and people were like, he's an idiot. He can't read that many books. But people believed that he was capable of reading a book.
And
Trump, apparently, like, there's people that are like, I don't think he can actually read.
He's quasi-literate. Like, there was lots of those early relays. Like, oh, yeah, you know, his daily briefings on the intelligence are, like, reduced to a single page bullet points, mm-hmm. and they need to include his name every little bit or he gets bored.
And they have to have graphs and charts because he doesn't want to read.
Yeah. So, you know,
it's just,
rehabilitating W in the least. He's still a giant
piece of shit, he's also a total cunt and a war criminal. But, like, yeah, nails on chalkboard, man. I cannot listen to that man.
Honestly,
talk.
It's the same way for me. Like, I'll read, like, oh, he said some dumb shit. Oh, he said he's the chosen one. Oh, he's the second coming of God. That's what? You know, all sorts of delightfully blasphemous shit that he said in the last little bit. But I refuse. I refuse to listen to any time he speaks. And, like, sometimes I'm with my parents in the car and my mom hits something on Facebook and it starts autoplaying. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, please stop. Please do not. I do not wish to infect my brain with his words at all. He just is that loathsome.
There are lots of chosen ones, and they're probably all better than him. Neo, Ash in the second Pokemon movie, because he found the legendaries.
Oh, right. Glory of Light, Final Fantasy. You know, all these chosen ones out there, and all of them better than Donald Trump. And, yeah, that's the other thing with, like, the G7 this week. And, you know, obviously...
And Trump's also advocating to have Russia invited back into the G7, which, I mean, Russia was originally kicked out for being massive shits. And the rest, like, of the countries are actually like, no, we're going to invite into Ukraine as a fuck you to Russia.
Yeah. Well, and then there was the other thing where, like, the climate... You know, tying it back to the Amazon
the Paris
shit,
climate
where
accord?
The climate session at the G7.
Oh, okay, right.
He just skipped it, and then, like, they tried to say that, oh no, he was meeting with these other people who were at the session, and he wasn't.
Mm.
Like, it's the most transparent thing. And then basically they're just like, oh, you know, look, he just didn't want to go. I'm like, just fucking say that instead of making an extremely easily disprovable lie.
Yeah.
Like, you lie through your teeth, and everybody understands you're lying, and you don't face any repercussions for it, because of course not. Mm-hmm. But it's just like, just say you don't give a fuck. It's okay. We know you don't. You don't have to make up a fake meeting with Angela Merkel. She was at the fucking session.
My God.
It's so dumb. And, like, the other thing where, like, apparently he watched Sharknado and thought that their solution to handling hurricanes was applicable in real life.
Dropping a nuke into it.
Yes, if you drop a nuclear bomb into a hurricane, that will totally dissipate it, yes, and not create
He is really desperate to use nukes.
Acid rain.
Really scary.
Oh, yeah, he really wants to drop it on somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, I guess he's downgraded his expectations to weather, but still concerning.
He's like, oh, okay, no, oh, shit, he's going to watch one of the Superman movies where Lex Luthor buries nuclear bombs on the San Andreas Fault to create more shoreline for him. He's going to drop California into the ocean with nuclear bombs.
I thought you were going to say something stupid about how Superman flew backwards to turn back time on Earth.
No.
By reversing the planet's
rotation. That was like a Lex Luthor thing where he was going to nuke San Andreas Fault to make California fall into the ocean so that Lex Luthor would own all the oceanfront property that was newly created.
Oh, God.
Because that's how it works, you know.
I mean, it's a great comic book concept. I can see Trump believing that.
Sure.
But, you know, I mean, I'll honestly, I... I think he's capable of anything, you know, all bad. Although he did say something in 2012 that I agree with, because I saw a quote tweeted today.
Oh.
The Electoral College is a terrible idea and is destroying our democracy. I agree.
Yeah.
We should get rid of that.
We should. And, you know, cows don't vote. People do. That actually was a legit conversation that people were having in the last week.
Cows voting?
No, the Electoral College being shitty.
Oh, shitty, yeah.
You know, no, like, Iowa being like, well, then my vote won't count. And then everybody rebutting that.
Vote will count one for one of you.
Yes, one person, one vote.
Right.
And that's how it should be.
Like, I realized that the last two presidencies the Democrats have lost have been because of the Electoral College.
Yep.
Like, Gore won the popular vote and lost the electoral vote. Hillary won the popular vote and lost the electoral vote. And, oh, I think I tweeted this somewhere today. Not retweeted it. I telegrammed it to people. It was like, was it France or Britain? Was like, send us your president that won the popular vote by 3 million. Like, we like her.
It was France, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Electoral College, it's a piece of shit. It needs to go. Like the Senate. Spicy political takes with Saverin. In positive good news?
There's been some porn posted in our Telegram chat. That's cool. Pretty good.
I'll have to check it out.
Actually, yeah, check it.
Oh, that's nice. Lizard chick. That's a lizard girl.
And this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Ratchet from Ratchet and Clank. That's his butt.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other good news, David Koch died.
Right.
One half of the billionaire Koch brothers.
One of the Kochs.
Yes, yeah. A real Koch. He,
they were saying about the remaining guy, they're like, he's now getting a preview of how the world will react once he dies.
Yeah. And there was a fake Wikipedia article list of dead Koch brothers. This list is incomplete. You can help by expanding it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, he was a real piece of shit. A billionaire that leaves like $53 billion or something for his family and managed to obfuscate and mess up climate science and do climate denialism and probably anti-vaxxer and anti-gay and funneled a lot of money towards things like Turning Point USA and a lot of right-wing YouTubers, PragerU. Mm. Basically, this guy was funding everything right-wing and shitty because fuck paying taxes, I guess. You know, people have the audacity to be like, how dare you speak ill of the dead? No, just because they're dead doesn't mean they're okay.
Yeah.
If you die and you sucked ass, you still suck ass, and I'm not going to sugarcoat it. And this dude sucked ass. And if that's unseemly, well, too bad, because this guy sucked.
Yeah, I honestly, it's a little sickening in other cases where people all immediately rush to lionize someone that's just died. Like, we saw this with McCain and George H.W. Bush. And then it's sort of like, okay, let's go back and look at their history, you know? And like, yeah, maybe they were less obviously shitty, but like, we all knew they were shitty. Whereas Koch is like, he real shitty. But just people falling over themselves to be like, oh, what a great elder statesman, and said, no, fuck all of that. If you're an asshole, then fuck.
Didn't Behind the Bastards also do a John McCain episode?
Yeah, that was one of their best ones. No, it wasn't Behind the Bastards. It was The Dollop. The Dollop did John McCain and George H.W. Bush, and those were both very good episodes that I recommend listening to. I just can't conceive of being on this earth over 70 years and just not doing anything positive with your time. Just amassing wealth and fucking over as many people as you can to get more money than you could ever spend in 10 lifetimes. I just don't get that. $53 billion? Jesus.
Yeah, and that's like one billionaire down, 1,999 to go, you know?
Yeah.
There's only so many billionaires, no, but the fact that there's like 2,000 billionaires.
Yeah, and the top two or three have over 100 billion.
Yeah, and like we've said this multiple times, that once numbers get that large, they cease to basically be real.
Yeah.
And as you said, they would literally, it would be impossible for them to realistically spend that money in their lifetimes.
Yep.
Like, you would have to really creative. Like, you could solve fucking homelessness in North America. You could fix every water system in the entire country. Mm-hmm. You could send every person in the continent to college and give every homeless person a house. And you still would probably not run out of money.
Yeah. And that's really like the kind of wide-ranging kind of shit that I'd opt to do. You'd have to fucking hire people basically to manage all that for you. I don't know, just selfish fuckers and their money. I'm like, holy shit. But then again, I mean, you know, if you have that kind of money, you gotta be a pretty fucking twisted fuck to,
yeah, you don't get that money by being a good person.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to be a shitty person for 40 years so that I can get $100 billion and then I'll help people. Doesn't work like that.
So, shifting from that, because, I mean, what else can we say but good riddance to bad rubbish? Mm-hmm. Shifting to other people that died, brief detour into Epstein land, because this is sort of not unexpected at all. But essentially, they're saying new footage from at least one camera outside Epstein's jail cell is unusable as feds probe the night he died.
Huh.
What a shock. Wow. That's really wild, guys. I mean, It's crazy that the first suicide at this facility in over 20 years and two guards that mysteriously fell asleep at the same time, and also one or more of the cameras stopped working around the same time that he died. I mean, yeah, that's totally legit and normal, guys. This is not totally creating an inflection point to make a whole new generation of conspiracy theorists. Because it's so fucking brazen and open.
I tend to be really, really skeptical of conspiracy theories and a bunch of shit like that. But like holy fuck, man. It's like, really?
This is the most ham-handed, brazen, obvious hit. Like, we joked about the tinfoil thing, but it's like this, all these coincidences happened together, all of them. Mm-hmm. In one night, in all this, just what a mystery. This isn't just the most obvious fucking hit job on the goddamn planet, and nothing is going to happen with it, probably. It's just,
yeah,
congratulations, the rich get away with their evil and off the person that could out them, and nothing happens. Congratulations. That'll give you some brain worms.
Yep.
Oh, jeez. So, here's a moment of zen for you. Peanuts are legumes. Cocoa is a fruit. Sugar is a beet. Conclusion, a Snickers is a salad.
Good.
Yes.
I've been eating very healthy.
Very good. Oh, God. So, did you see that video, Fuzz, that is the barbecue chicken tortilla deep fried pizza hell cake?
Right. Like, I'm watching that and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm not a real good cook and I don't know all about spices and shit like that. So I'm like, okay, where are they going with this? Where are they going? What the? Wait, what? And it just gets more and more crazy, and then eventually it's like a fucking pizza and it got pepperoni on it, and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, all those like sort of like different flavor profile of all those different spices are going to be completely lost under everything else you've piled on top of it.
So the video we're discussing is this YouTube video of, you know, one of those sped up cooking videos. Except in this particular case, okay, you start out with, you make your own sauce. You know, some barbecue sauce, a bunch of spices. And then you take some boned chicken. And then you make the chicken, and then you tear it up. And you're like, okay, cool. So they're making barbecue chicken, right? No, that's just the start. Then you get a cake pan. You put a big-ass tortilla at the bottom. You put the barbecue chicken on top. Then you put a tortilla on top. And you bake that so that you have this barbecue chicken cake. Mm-hmm. That is stabilized top and bottom with tortillas. Then, like, it has you make, like, some sauce with sour cream and mayonnaise.
See, even before that, I thought they were going too far just adding the barbecue sauce. Because they spent all this time making this sauce with, like, six different ingredients. And then they just pour fucking barbecue sauce all over the chicken.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, that's just going to overpower everything that you just put on there.
Oh, but oh, actually, we missed a step because also after they've torn up the chicken, they added in a bunch of other vegetables like onions and celery and other stuff. Uh-huh. So you have this vegetable mix in with the barbecue chicken. Then they make the cake.
Mm.
Then after that's done, they slice this cake, this meat cake, into 6 slices. But they're not done. They're, yeah. The horror show does not end there. They then are like, all right, we're going to take this thing.
And they bread it.
They bread it.
And then they deep fry it.
Yes. Then they deep fry. So they have deep fried barbecue chicken cake.
Tortilla vegetable medley.
Yeah. And they're these little like wedges of death.
But wait, kids, that's not all. Because now we're going to cover it in marinara sauce, cheese,
and pepperoni,
put it back in the oven, and it comes out looking like a pizza, like a 4-inch thick pizza slice full of stuff.
Yes. So it's this pizza slice with tortillas and barbecue chicken and onions and other vegetables and sauces that's breaded and fried, topped with marinara sauce, cheese, and pepperoni. And then you're like, but wait, there was something to do with sour cream earlier. And they're like, yeah, you just dunk this entire deep-fried nightmare into your sour cream mayo hell sauce. And there was actually a video of somebody who made one.
Uh-huh.
They went through the trouble of making it. And they're like, the moment of truth. And they get it, and it's like this grease oozes out, and they bite into it. And it's just like, oh, bleh. And they just like, they just get a paper towel, and they're like, cut, bleh. And they just throw the bite.
Like, I don't even know what it would taste like. Like, there's just so much shit in it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, this is like some white person was like, oh, they say we don't use spices? Well, fuck it. We're going to use all of them.
Yeah. Dumping an entire spice rack into a mixing bowl is not using spices.
We're coming up on the in time of year where the State Fair fried foods have been put out.
Yeah, they announced State Fair that Texas, like last weekend, I think.
And like Panther pointed out a few that actually sounded pretty good.
Uh-huh.
There's some that, you know, they're the usual nightmare ones. Like there was like double deep fried shrimp balls. One that was a savory.
Those must be very small.
A savory. Yes, they have to like really get in there with the tweezers and it. So many little shrimp balls.
Yeah, I didn't even know that shrimp reproduced that way, but sure.
No, there was like a deep fried savory Twinkie that's made with like cornbread and some sort of chicken filling that they then deep-fry.
You lost me at savory Twinkie. I'm like, what?
Yeah, man. Food nightmares, guys.
What if we took this thing that's known for one thing and we made it taste like the opposite? No. I want a sugary sweet chicken now. We deep fried it in frosting.
Well, here's one that's a stuffed fried taco cone. It's a tender, savory, marinated, slow-cooked barbacoa served in an ice cream cone-shaped tortilla shell with black beans and cilantro lime rice. And it's an ice cream cone-looking thing, except it's a taco. So we're talking about food nightmare stuff, and the State Fair of Texas is always a great spot for food
nightmares.
You'll have
to excuse me. I think I just had an aneurysm.
Oh, well.
I felt something above my eye pop.
Let's see. There's a flamingo tango, which is a creamy mango thing, deep fried, drizzled with citrus glaze, and served with strawberry and mango sorbet.
So, speaking of mango, this was weird. You've had Kanafa with us, right?
Yeah.
At Jasmine's? Okay. So, for those who don't know, Kanafa, the way we've had it, is served hot with like drizzled sugary stuff, and it's melted cheese and with a little pistachio on the top, and it tastes good. I went to that new hookah place today, and they serve their Kanafa completely differently. I don't even know if it's still technically Kanafa. It has the noodle part, right? Uh-huh. And then like served cold, and it has like a cold like ice cream kind of thing, and with mango in it.
Huh. I mean, there's a bunch of regional variants. I'm sure there's like Moroccan variants. And like, well, when we go to Jasmine's, it's Lebanese specifically.
Right, yeah.
So that might be the Lebanese variant.
Maybe. I don't know. It's just so completely different. Like, I didn't even see any cheese. Huh. In it. And I'm like, it's not just like a slightly different topping. It's completely like, different. This shit is completely different. Like there was one commonality, and that was the crispy noodle part.
So other things this year at the State Fair, deep fried fruit, deep fried strawberries, because of course, peanut butter cup snooki, which is basically, it's like a pizookie from BJ's. So that's pretty normal. Huh. The Mexicone. Southern fried chicken fettuccine Alfredo ball. Bite into a fried ball stuffed fettuccine Alfredo, southern fried chicken bites, and fresh mozzarella cheese. So
you just went to Olive Garden and they're like, you know what would make this even better? If we put it all in a bowl and it dunked it in the deep fryer.
Let's see. Texas cream corn casserole fritters, which is corn casserole, but deep fried.
Olive Garden doesn't have a word for enough, but they do have a word for what the fuck?
Cotton candy taco. It's a s'more taco looking thing, like a choco taco.
See, they could have called it something other than cotton candy taco if it doesn't really resemble cotton candy.
Oh, God. Okay, so I misread something like this. So it's called Fernie's Hoppin' John Cake with Jackpot Sauce by Winter's Family Concessions, and it's listed as savory. This iconic New Year's Eve Southern good luck dish takes a dip in the deep fryer for a unique and mouth-watering spin. My brain misread mouth-watering as mouth-feel. And if you are familiar with the YouTuber ContraPoints and her content and talking about her dick and the mouth feel.
What her dick feels like in your mouth?
As a trans woman and the effect that estrogen has and how it makes it all different in the mouth feel.
It feels different when someone's blowing her than it did before estrogen.
Yes,
gotcha.
But so I misread mouth watering as mouth feel and my brain just kind of went, what?
So interestingly, I heard a podcast interview with a non-binary person who was assigned female at birth and was taking testosterone. Uh-huh. And they had said that their clit had gotten larger and a lot more sensitive. And apparently some people who take testosterone, their clits get big enough to penetrate with. And I was like, wow.
Hey.
It's pretty. So I imagine your dick, but the entire thing feels like the tip.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. I feel like that might be a little overwhelming.
Yeah. And also, so it's deep fried black eyed peas. Thank you. That was just like, oh, yeah, we're going to have this brief discussion of mouthfeel. Talk about clits, and then also it's just deep-fried black-eyed peas and rice and sausage. Sweet, crispy rice. It's deep-fried rice balls. Here's the fucking nightmare Twinkie. Texas Twankie. A savory twist on an American classic. It ain't sweet. It's perfect. Cornbread cake baked to moist perfection, hollowed out and filled with culinary masterpiece of Tex-Mex grilled chicken white bean chili. And it is a
deep... They filled it with chicken and chili?
And it's cornbread instead of yellow cake.
I just like to imagine that they bought a bunch of Twinkies and cored them out, and then they took all the white filling and they deep fried it, and that's a separate dish. And then they took the hollowed out Twinkies and they stuffed them full of chicken and what was the other thing?
White bean chili.
White bean chili. Yeah.
Deep fried shepherd's pie. There you go, Fuzz.
Okay.
And deep fried skillet. This is the last one I'm going to talk about because we're going to shift topics because food. You're going to make somebody hungry and or nauseated depending on their takes on this. Deep fried skillet potato melt in a boat by Tom Grace. This is a tater tot on steroids. We start with buttery skillet potatoes griddled golden brown. Then we add diced griddled breakfast sausage patties and pack the tasty potato mixture around a mini Baby Bell cheese loaf. Then it gets a quick roll on our special seasoned flour and goes into the fryer. In just a few minutes, we have a wonderful crunch that finishes with a smooth melt of cheese.
See, I was like with you until the flour and the fryer.
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
most everything that I've discussed is fried.
It's good up until a point. That point being when they decide that it needs to be battered and deep fried.
Ooh, here's something that's just even more naked. Sweet bacon bacon. A cream-filled sponge cake wrapped in savory bacon and dipped in a funnel cake batter, then deep fried. It's like they bacon wrapped and deep fried a Twinkie. Because, you know, life sucks, die eating fried foods. Might as well.
Honestly, I mean, go life out sure. Doing what you love, you know?
What else should we hit on? Oh, we can do some bronies behaving badly. We haven't talked about that in a while.
We haven't talked about that since Well, we have talked about it since you were a con chair, but oh, by the way, I have since confirmed that Shiva and Sarah are playing WoW Classic.
Yeah.
And that's why they weren't paying attention to
that. That is completely what I expected, and that's fine. So, bronies. God damn it, bronies.
Why? Holy shit.
Why would you do this? So, in a unfortunate situation, the Netherlands, the broadcaster for the Pony Show in the Netherlands, got their episodes and then put them up on their website early. It was
leaking all the way to the end, man.
Yeah. they're on the back half of the season now, but they still had like 2 more months of episodes left.
Not anymore.
Because they were put out in Dutch, and then people downloaded them and screencapped them and started posting the ending and stuff to everywhere else. So, hey, I'm going to tell you, if you're a Pony fan, skip ahead 1 minute starting now, because I'm going to discuss the ending briefly, and then we'll go on to the actual...
They all died? Is it like the ending of Blake 7? They all get shot?
And then the ship shakes and goes to black?
No, the ship had already, the first one had already blown up and the second one had already crashed by that point.
Okay, so basically the final episode of the show is the, like, X years later. Twilight is now the leader. She is a tall, lanky, weird horse. Spike gets really jacked for some weird reason. Various characters have hooked up. Pinkie Pie marries Weird Al and fucks him. They have a kid named Cheese Pie.
That's great.
She has a kid.
Fluttershy finally fucks Angel and has a weird bunny pony hybrid.
No, but she is still hooked up with Discord.
Oh my god.
Like,
okay.
In a scene in the end, portal opens up, she walks through, and Discord reaches out and hands her a lunch bag. So, you know, he's the house Draconicus. I mean, I only gleaned stuff from, like, the screenshots. I didn't go looking for it. But basically, it is a, this is what happens in the future.
Does Twilight have a third wing, like the way the Enterprise D had a third warp nacelle in the future?
No, she just has fucking Celestia's body type, which is really weird. And, like, all the characters look older. They do so by giving them bags under their eyes, just like adults.
Yeah, they're like, what will millennials look like in 30 years?
Lyra and Bon Bon got Gay Horse married.
That's pretty cool. I saw the screen cap of that.
And so it's like, they've only been, like, ship teas in the background, but they're like, fuck it, it's the last episode. What are you going to fucking do? Stop watching?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, thus ends the spoilers, this resulted in a lot of really off-the-rocker people sending hate and death threats to people associated with the show.
Is it just because of the lesbian horses, or is it because of other things?
No. I mean, anytime a show ends lately, there's going to be nutbags that send hate and death threats to the creators because it didn't end the way they did wanted it to. I mean, consider how many people didn't like the ending of the Game of Thrones when, you know, they had named their kid Daenerys or something, right?
Right.
Where it turns out that, no, she was in fact crazy and evil and gets killed. Then, like, you know, they're super upset. Or insert any show that ends before people think it should have, you know, in this very online time. But the thing is that, like, in this particular case, like, Jim Miller, the director who directed the show and is now off doing other things now, because the wrap party for Pony was like 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, it's over and done with. They're not making that show anymore. They're off doing their own thing. And so sending death threats to someone well after the fact, when they were just the director, not the writer of the episode, like, it really was like he protected his account and just said, fuck it. It was disappointing because there was a lot of other horse and formerly horse-associated people that are just like, yeah, this isn't surprising. Like, Peter New was like, what the fuck? I thought you guys were better than this.
No, he didn't. No, he knows better by now.
He knows better by now. various, like, comic and show artists just being like, yeah, that's not a big surprise. But, yeah, Jim's like, guys, I'm done. I'm getting hate and vitriol and death threats on my personal portfolio webpage over what you didn't like on a cartoon. The world sucks right now, and this is what's most important. You can dislike the work. Dislike the ending. Whatever you want. I tweeted about it. I was like, yeah, this is so predictable.
It's just the dumbest thing.
I mean, consider that the show wasn't going to get past season 3 until it was making them too much money for them to stop.
Yeah.
Like, they managed to get a workflow and they had a lot of money coming in from the product. And so instead of it ending at episode six, at the third, end of the third season with Twilight flying at the camera going, everything's going to be just fine. And ending there, it got six further seasons. Mm-hmm. And like ending it over 200 episodes. And that's not enough for some folks.
But it's just like, even if there's a show where you don't like the ending of the season or the series or the holiday special or whatever, like writing death threats to the people involved with it is just a whole other level beyond, you know, just being a dick about it.
I mean, I actually logged into the old con podcast, con Twitter account, where it's like, guys, what are you doing? It was basically like, look, y'all should be appreciative of show staff. It got six more seasons than anyone thought it would have. If you don't like the ending,
honestly, you should have just been like
death threats.
You should have just been like, shit like this is exactly why we stopped doing this con.
Yeah. I mean, that would have been just as blunt, but at least the write fan fiction, not death threats, was far better received, like in terms of the retweets and the likes.
Right. So, and like, I did see a couple of whiny people being like, are you saying all bronies are bad?
Hashtag not all bronies. Look, if you feel the need to belabor that point, you are part of the bronies that are doing this. So shut the fuck up, brony. Like, I actually had to like resist replying with exactly that to somebody instead of just like blocking them, because I was just like, this will not help from either my personal account or the con account. just imagine the con account replying to some whiner like, shut the fuck up, brony.
I mean, the con's been over for
two years,
you know. You don't even have to like say shut the fuck up. You could just be like, I'm gonna send you to the moon.
Silence, bottom. What? And it's like, but I'm straight. No, you're not.
Not anymore. Why do all of your mares have horse cocks?
Checkmate, bronies. I mean, that's disappointing to see, but also not surprising. So please do not be that type of fan. If your favorite piece of media ends, don't do weird shit outside of Netflix's HQ, like the fans of the OA. We're doing.
Oh, the OA.
Yeah.
I watched season one of that. That's a dumb fucking show. What happened
with they were the like doing a flash mob. There's like some dance or something from the show. And so like the fans who are trying to quote save the OA or the OA are like doing this flash mob dance outside of Netflix's HQ to try to get their attention. And they're like, we're gonna go to Times Square next. And it's like, good luck with that.
Yeah, we hope you have a nice weekend in New York.
I mean, don't, you know, remember the further off Times Square you go, the better the pizza. Oh. You know, and it's too late for you to go to the cool Toys R Us that was there. You missed that boat.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Isn't there an FAO Schwartz there?
I think it closed too.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
I got a chance to go to both back in 2012.
Are we just like cool. Fuck toys?
Yeah. Vulture Capitalism and Amazon basically murdered it, so.
So it's like Michael Jordan said, fuck them kids.
Yeah. So, yeah, the weird stuff around the finales of shows is not new. Neither is death threats towards showrunners. But just don't be that type of person, please. And, like, if you are, I would rather not hear about it. I'm sure you can appreciate that. Please consider my feelings when you decide to be
a shithead
relating to your popular media.
Yeah.
I don't think that's too much to ask. Please consider the poor phoenix of the internet who are like, why is this person screaming at Brie Larson about holding the prop hammer of Thor and thinking they're so clever when they say, well, that's just a prop. You're not worthy. And Fuzz, you know that I'm not making that up. You know.
Oh, God. I'm just. I would be like, that doesn't make sense because. And then this doesn't get. It is so stupid. I can't even think. Was it Brie Larson or was it Natalie Portman?
It was Brie Larson holding a
Mjolnir
prop.
Okay. Because I know they had Natalie Portman holding it because she's going to be the female Thor.
Yeah. And, she's going to be
the next one. Oh, this is Love and Thunder.
Yeah. I forget her name, though. Fuck.
Jane Foster.
Yeah. Jane Foster. Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to do that. But no, it was Brie Larson holding it. And
oh, okay.
The nerds got upset because, of course, they do.
I'm just. That's just the. Like, was it a prop the last 10 years that Chris Hemsworth
was worth? No, Chris Hemsworth was actually
worthy. He's actually worthy, right.
The space gods of Asgard, which are aliens and not actually gods, said that Chris Hemsworth was worthy and granted him a mystical hammer and then later a mystical axe, which was forged at the heart of a neutron star and the handle is that of a tree person named Groot. And this is canon and real because movies. But Brie Larson, she was just holding a prop.
It's so dumb. And not even in like a fun Pacific Rim way. It's just bad.
So now that we're like, I'm going to transfer this like slightly further along. So we watched Battle Angel, whatever. We watched that here this weekend, and I had forgotten that there was some real weird internet Gamergator shithead stuff around that movie.
Yes, they were kind of like they were trying to tear down Star Wars Episode VIII by saying Alita Battle Angel was a better movie.
I thought that was they were trying to
tear down Captain Marvel.
I think it was Captain Marvel. Okay,
whatever. It was some female-led film. It doesn't even matter which one at this point. They're going to hate all of them except apparently for Alita Battle Angel. I don't know why. You know, somehow I don't think Robert Rodriguez would be down with this.
No, but it was the weirdest fucking thing, too, because, like, when we watched it, we didn't record anything about it because it was really, really late on, like, what? It was on a Saturday, but we were just tired.
Yeah.
And I said, Alita Battle Angel was just bonkers.
Uh-huh.
And it got, like, the attention of some of these people that fucking name searched that movie.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
And, like, they were like, go on. And, like, they were liking and faving it, and I'm just like, you fucking weirdos. And then I was like, yeah, you know, I think it was a pretty cool movie. They condensed the thing, blah, blah, blah. And like, but it kind of sucks that since now Disney owns Fox's movies division, they might not do another one.
Yeah.
And it was just that. But like, still, it got a handful of retweets and random likes from these people that, oh, I know for a fucking fact, I probably have a bunch of their followers blocked because they're that type of person. But it was so weird that I like accidentally stumbled into this bizarro remnant of a faux internet culture war by virtue of saying this movie was kind of wild and it was all right.
It's also a thing where it's sort of like there's no reason why you can't watch and enjoy both of them.
Yeah.
But Gators decided that they wanted to hate this other thing so much that they sort of tried to adopt it the way they did the Pepe character.
Yeah.
And which is like, also not something that creator is happy with.
It was weird because I remember at the time, like when Captain Marvel was playing in theaters, this same type of person was going on about how they were gone and seeing Alita like 5-10 times, like, you know, crazy people do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's like the people that went and saw Avengers Endgame a bunch of times to make it the most money-making movie ever after over Avatar, which is also owned by Disney at this point. Congratulations, Disney beat Disney. So it was just...
And Zoe Saldana beat Zoe Saldana.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I actually didn't even realize that she was the character in Avatar.
Oh, yeah, she was one of the cats.
Was she probably the main cat?
Yeah, she was like the main cat alien, and then she was also
Gamora.
Oh, but also, well, no, right.
Also Uhura in Star Trek, but she's Gamora in
Right, I was getting Avengers. My which movie people were mad about things. But,
It's so hard to keep track.
I know. You know? I mean, the thing is, we watched the movie because you'd purchased it and it was fine. It was fun. We looked up the manga's like history and it's still going on. It's still being made. And right. It's had like three different like stories. Like the main story is the first movie.
Yeah.
Is like the first set. And then the second and the third volumes of stories, collections, just get more and more bonkers. Like, the world is far larger than it is ever implied to be in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Where, like, in the first movie, this is like, oh, we're, like, what's left of humanity. Yeah. In the second and third, you're like, no, what's left on Earth is just, like, they're the redneck people living in Shitsville while the rest of us are out in space doing cool shit.
Right.
And it's revealed that, not really a spoiler, because that's, you know, an old-ass manga, but they're not probably not going to make a movie. But it's like, you look at what they made in the movie and the way it just ends, and then you're kind of like, oh, this isn't going to get a sequel. Kind of, yeah, like, you know, the ending of Ghostbusters 2016, where they do the super strong sequel hook, and then they're like, oh, yeah, we're not doing anymore.
Huh. Another movie with women that people, yeah, decided to hate for no fucking reason.
Wild.
It wasn't great. It wasn't awful. It just was.
It was.
You know? It was an okay movie. In any other world, it would have made enough to make a sequel. But in our shitty fucking misogynist reality.
Yeah. But that was my weird, like...
That is weird.
I didn't touch the poo touched me.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I went on and, you know, didn't talk about it again. But it's just, it's like, just be aware. It's almost sort
of like how the same contingent of assholes, but in the sci-fi community, tried to elevate Chuck Tingle by getting him nominated for a Hugo Award. And, you know, without talking to him about it, obviously. And he and his team were having none of it because he agreed to let... Zoe Quinn, I think, accept the award on his behalf because he doesn't appear in public, just to fuck with these people because she's the person that they all hate the most. And it's another kind of thing where they're like, oh, we're going to put another movie in this position and be like, well, I'm going to see this movie instead, even though it's not like Alita had like a marketing campaign like, hey, are you an asshole? Did you hate The Last Jedi? Do you hate the new Doctor Who? Well, come and see Alita instead of Captain Marvel. That movie's for cooks. I'm in marketing.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, segueing into Zoe Quinn, did we mention... We sort of mentioned Alec
Holocaust. Actually, we hadn't.
We hadn't? Yeah.
So, yeah, the last thing we should touch on, because we're past an hour at this point.
Yeah.
Is today has been a bad news day for a couple of assholes in the
gaming industry.
Gaming industry, whereupon both Jeremy Sewell, the music creator for, among other things, Skyrim, as well as Alec Holocaust, who did the music and coding for Night in the Woods, have both been basically posted about today where they have long histories of being shitbags, abusers, and rapists.
They're basically Weinstein / Vix.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's just like, hey, guess what? These people that are well-known and connected in the gaming industry this time, as opposed to the movie industry or whatever else, turns out they're abusive pieces of shit. And it's really disappointing because, like, yeah, Jeremy Sewell, this director, you know, he did all the Skyrim music and is, like, was highly regarded. Mm-hmm. But they've got their receipts. And, you know, Alec Holocaust did a really banger, a really good banger of a soundtrack for Night in the Woods, but now it's like it's tainted a project that is only like four people.
God, three people.
Yeah, because it's Scott Benson, his wife Bethany, and Alec. And yeah, it's like, great, now one third of this really good narrative adventure game is shown to be a shitter.
I mean, at least he wasn't responsible for the art direction and story.
Yeah.
That was all Scott and Bethany. But
it is disappointing, too, because it also...
I bought the fucking soundtrack on vinyl. Like, yeah. I really enjoyed the music. And
it's really disappointing because it's like, oh, you know, now I can't enjoy this because now I know that this guy is a dirtbag. You know, most people don't intentionally purchase stuff made by dirtbags.
Yeah.
You know, I had tacos today with Tesser, and like we went by the resale shop and there was like a DVD of the Glenn Beck Christmas special and Louis C.K. comedy special, and I'm like, who the fuck's gonna buy those in this day and age?
Yeah, they're there in the donation bin for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I've seen a couple artists that I follow express regret. They're like, oh man, I'm really kind of bummed that I made, you know, pornographic art of these characters. And it's like, I understand. It's like, yes, it's not you know, Scott and Bethany did the art for the characters, but also I can completely understand them being disappointed because they've done artwork, Rule 34, of these characters that they really like, but also it's connected to a dude that is a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's a real bummer because you have porn artists that are concerning themselves with the ethics of what they create because they're like, wait, this is, I really like this thing, but it's connected to an asshole. I don't know. I feel bad about this now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, all the Rule 34 is consensual fucking.
Yeah, because, like, this one artist had just – actually, both artists had just released images today of that included B, and one was May and B together, and it was just, like, you know,
yeah,
cute consensual play, and whoops, suddenly –
It's Zoe Quinn's description of the kind of shit he was doing is –
And, like,
fucking
on that one, I wasn't sure if it was, like, directly happened to her or she was relaying something that – happened to her or happened to someone she knows?
No, it was her.
Okay. I mean, I read it and was like, yo.
Because part of the thing she was saying was one of the reasons that she had not spoken about this in the last couple of years is because she's already got all these gators on her ass over the fucking the original blog guy that wrote the Five Guys post and all that. So if she came out and said anything about a very well-known and at the time very respected member of the video gaming community, she was worried that it would just seem like she was making shit up. But she said she basically hit a tipping point where she just got tired of seeing this guy, like, you know, being honored and invited on speaking tours. And she'd, like, gone to another job where she had to work on the dialogue, and, like, the dialogue system had been coded by him years before. Like, he's just that – his coding in these indie games was just that prevalent that,
yeah,
like, she couldn't get away from him.
Well, I mean, we had that discussion.
And apparently since she's come out about this, she's gotten DMs and responses on her tweets from other women saying – thank you for saying something. I had an experience with this guy too, and everything you're saying is true.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I think 2 weeks ago we talked about the games designer who was at Gen Con, and her ex, who had been a piece of shit, was finally banned, and so she was able to attend.
Oh, okay.
Because she felt safer there.
Right.
Because this guy who was an abusive piece of shit, who had also done it to other people, was no longer there.
Right, yeah.
And then also that same week, there had been an incident at Evo of a photographer being creepy with female attendees. And then once one person said, yeah, this guy was a fucking creeper to me, what the hell? Suddenly, a bunch of other people are also like, yeah, he did that to me too. And so It's not surprising that this happens. But it's like, once it finally does, and these people that have been predators for so fucking long have basically said, oh, like, this person did some shit to me and I'm going to put my neck on the line to say that. A lot of other people can be like, yeah, he did that shit to me too.
It reminds me of humans a lot of times are very much like waiting for someone else to
– it's the bystander effect,
really. To make the first move. And it's sort of like when you're in a classroom and they're like – there are no stupid questions. If you have something you're confused about, there's probably five other people that are in the class as well.
Yeah.
So just ask the question and it will be valuable for everybody. It feels kind of like that. And then you're like, oh, thank you for asking that. I'm confused by calculus too. But it's like somebody has the courage to actually say what's going on. And yeah, other people will then come out. And it's not the other thing. I saw a great tweet the other day was sort of pointed out, like, can you name any of Bill Cosby's accusers? Can you remember anything about them? Could you pick them out in a lineup? No? Okay, so we agree that women don't make rape accusations in order to get famous.
Yeah, that's a fair statement because, you know, all these people were abused to hell and back over them saying, yeah, this person did this shit to me.
You know, and if you come out and say something, it sucks. It doesn't go well for you. Like, I forget her first name, but Dr. Blasey Ford, who was testifying against Brett Kavanaugh when he was a nominee for the Supreme Court, like, her life was fucking turned upside down and ripped apart because she had the courage to come forward and speak about what happened to her because she didn't want this fuck on the highest court in the land. And, you know, that didn't benefit her in any way. I'm just sort of heading off the past some of these arguments that people make when they're like, oh, Zoe Quinn's just doing it for the notoriety or something. Yeah, it's like, nah. If anything, this is going to get her piled on even more by these dickheads than she already was. And that's fucked up.
Yeah, because I'm trying to find another one, because there's like someone else saying, yeah, this dude that works in the VR space at Oculus was also a giant piece of shit. And I'm like, well, I'm like, that's not really surprising either, given the bro culture around Oculus at this point.
Oh, I didn't know much about Oculus.
It's not surprising that when one person has the guts to be like, yeah, this person's a piece of shit, and they've done this to a bunch of other people, a lot of other people are going to come out and say that. Like, they're so big and powerful until one person gets crushed for them, you know, gets crushed, and then the next person can clap and say, this person did it too. Because it never really works out well for the accusers. Mm-hmm. You know, their life gets fucked up by their rabid fans.
Yeah.
I mean, hell, there was a YouTuber that disappeared for 4 months because it turns out he was a philandering piece of shit, and he came back and made a video that was like 40-minute self, you know, video defending himself and claiming that the accusers against him are all crazy women looking to get famous.
Do you remember that fucking completely nonsensical video Kevin Spacey released like a year ago?
No.
Oh my god, like, he released like a 9-minute long YouTube video called Let Me Be Frank. Frank was the name of the character. Frank Underwood
from House of Cards.
House of Cards, right. So he does a 9-minute video in his kitchen in character as Frank Underwood, basically saying, you know, things that you may have heard about me aren't true, you know, basically in character, but also kind of defending himself. And it's like, where the fuck did he think that was going to go? Did he think he was going to get his job back on the show? Did he think anyone was going to, like take that seriously? Like,
I don't know.
It was just bizarre. Like, if he had a publicist, he clearly didn't listen to them. It was really weird. I'm going to completely change gears here, because okay, I just saw something on Twitter that I'm going to mention, because it is completely fucked. So there was someone involved with a small movie theater, basically said, as long feared, we can no longer license 20th Century Fox repertory product. The review cinema has long relied on that library, but we'll have to adapt. Plenty of other studios still happy to license content. Quote retweet on that, but from someone else saying, all of our Fox contacts were fired, and we've been all but straight up told as an indie theater that we can no longer book Fox titles. But congrats on the new Fantastic Four movie. And the person that quote tweeted that pointed out, Disney just killed every small theater showing Rocky Horror Picture Show forever. Hope y'all enjoy those Disney Plus show announcements, though.
Ooh, that is a fucking bummer. Because, yeah, I mean, that was a Fox-owned film. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the licensing fee to Rocky Horror showing would be now.
I don't even know if they would
do it,
because these people are implying that, like, oh, they fired all the reps at Fox that were in charge of that, and they're just not going to license shit anymore. Huh.
Like, that actually legit has a lot of far-reaching implications. Because, yeah, there's the Disney Plus, the fragmentation of
The streaming
services further. Yeah. Just means, hey, piracy's back, kids. Time to pass down the time-honored secrets of BitTorrent and getting your shit that way. Because fuck paying another $15 a month or whatever. Yeah, there was all that bullshit about, like, oh, well, the Spider-Man and about MCU and Sony and Disney fighting, and it's just like, these are multi-billion-dollar corporations that do not give half a shit about you as a person, mm-hmm. and you're like having internet slap fights over this, and the thing you should be afraid of is the monopolization of our media by one giant company,
yeah.
That is to say, Disney. Like, there is an entire, like, there is now a movie chain mm-hmm. that Disney now has a stake in. It used to be actually, like, prohibited.
Cinemark or AMC?
I think it's AMC. Okay. But now, Disney now has a stake in these companies.
Oh, yeah, theaters. That's a massive conflict of interest if you're like, hey, all these companies make movies. they should not own the venue for showing those movies when they could just be like, you know what, we're only going to show movies by companies that we own.
Yeah.
So let's just fill this whole fucking theater with Disney, Marvel, and Fox. Okay, so let me follow up on that. As someone pointed out in the additional threads here, seems they carved out an exception for Rocky Horror and rep theaters are unaffected, but it's still very, very wide-reaching. Rep theaters are different in saying it affects small-town theaters that show commercial and classic films, because they don't count as rep theaters. And people are wondering if this affects things like Riff Tracks and Fathom Events. And yeah, so I'm guessing that like the full... I'll put a link to the article in the notes for you, Zavrin.
Apparently it's AMC.
Okay.
So yeah, Disney now has a stake in AMC.
That seems like an enormous conflict of interest.
Yeah. So, I mean, we should be more concerned about the monopolization of our media landscape by a single company. Is like, we see the problem with like Sinclair owning up all the small town TV stations in the country because they're incredibly right wing and like force people to be like
mouthpieces
for their agenda. And now Disney owns, you know, 60% or whatever of all media, you know, because they own Disney. They have,
yeah, we're all joking about them fucking, you know, the Infinity Stones with all the media logos as the stones, but I mean that's basically what it is.
Yeah, so you know, there's that, and the fact that, you know, second run or revival theaters being hit this quickly, it's not really surprising either. Like the moment
they're trying to get more product for their Disney Plus streaming service, so if you can't go out and see Flubber and the 1967 version in the theater because somebody wants to do a summer run of old films or whatever, then you have to go to Disney Plus.
Well, if you
so pay. It'll affect small theaters like a couple of the ones we've gone to.
Alamo or Studio Movie Grill.
Studio Movie Grill. There's a couple of the other ones. The Majestic, I think, does that sometimes. But
yeah, well, I mean, like...
Yeah, no, I'm thinking Alamo because they'll do that Summer of Classics and stuff like that. Well, like, and now they can't do anything that's Fox.
Yeah, I mean, I just also remember, like, for a little while there, they were doing the Saturday morning cereal party.
Yeah.
Where they would, like, do a... like a bunch of Saturday morning cartoons from like the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And with cereal and stuff.
Yeah.
But they stopped doing those for whatever reason.
Mm.
It was a shame because those were a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Zap and I would go to them and we saw like the Captain N one, which had like one of the voice actors from that. And they talked about how like they didn't tell us shit. We just had to make it up as we went along for a lot of it. And also when Jim and the Holograms, the most recent live action version came out, they did a 80s like cartoon version and they had the voice actress who was Jim come to the showing and did a little QA thing after that, but just kind of dried up after a while, which is kind of a shame. But I mean, I imagine even that, because Disney owning Fox did a bunch of cartoons and shit, like how many layers deep of these animation companies, right?
Yeah. And I mean, even like companies like Fox are probably buying up smaller companies in the last 100 years, like, too. So
it could be. You have Disney at the top and then Fox, then like how many, like just this spider web of lines that goes down, like they own this and own this and own this and own this. Mm-hmm. Well, because it was like.
It's sort of like there's only like three or five cereal companies in the country that own like all the brands.
You know how AT&T indirectly owns both Rooster Teeth and Crunchyroll through like they own a company that then owns Otter Media, which then owns both Rooster Teeth and Crunchyroll, which is why like certain Rooster Teeth shows end up on Crunchyroll after a while. But it's just like, you know, you look at what once was like Rooster Teeth used to be this little independent company.
Yeah.
That then got bought and then got bought and then got bought and then got bought. And now they're owned by AT&T, which is one of the megacorps that runs our country.
Right.
So massive centralization of media power is also not good.
But what you have to remember is that ultimately it doesn't matter because reality is a hologram.
That's true. Buy gold. So we should probably stop at this point.
Cold.
Because
it's the only thing that's real. Or, you know, as Robert Evans says, buy bolt cutters.
That works.
If it's really a hologram, what you should be buying is Bitcoin. Because that's the most real money in a hologram.
Mm. Silence bottom. So we're going to wrap this up because we are now at nearly an hour and a half on the raw recording.
The raw recording.
This hasn't been a raw episode. This has been a pretty chill episode. We talk a lot, but we're not like, fuck life.
For a second, I was like, you said, fuck wife. And I was like, that's probably not like what your wife wants to hear for sexy time. You'd be like,
come fuck wife, we must mate. Which would really raise a lot of questions.
This is what humans call kissing.
It's just like, blah, 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 blah. Oh, God. So if you appreciate the bullshit that you've just heard, you can go to our Patreon, patreon.com/southpawscast. You can find us on Twitter at southpawscast, where thankfully Conan O'Brien created podcasts last year.
Oh, Christ.
We didn't even touch on that.
Yeah.
But we're not going to because it's really dumb.
Podcasts have had a revolution like 8 times or something in the last 10 years.
Yeah. And we're still not making bank on this shit. I don't know.
Dude, we make $69 an episode. Nice.
I think we're up to 71 now.
Okay.
That's only...
For a while, it was 69. I totally screen capped it.
Yeah, it's okay. We don't use it for anything too exciting. You can find the show on
Twitter
at SouthPawsCast. We've been released from free speech jail.
Were we in free speech jail?
Yeah, briefly. Remember when you were fucking around?
That wasn't free speech jail. That was just... Me,
I was being silly.
Whatever. I thought we had like said something angry. We'd gone all angry podcast or something.
Anyways,
okay.
You can find me on Twitter for now at Saverin Drake. Find me at snouts.online at Saverin and Saverin on Twitch. What about you, Fuzz?
You can find me twitching after that traumatic brain injury that caused me to say some heated things while podcasting and silly making fun of right-wing people, and they're so stupid I don't really know what to say. Anyway, go to fuzzwolf.com. All my links are there. Support your furry writers and artists by buying shit from my website, furplanet.com. I will be at Method Fermi this coming weekend. This is a busy weekend, actually, because the furries will be at Method Fermi. It is also the weekend of Dragon Con. And didn't you say one of the PAXes?
PAX West, yeah.
PAX West.
I would love to go out to one of those.
I wonder if there's any other furry cons this weekend. Let me take a go. Tales and Tornadoes Fur Con is also this weekend.
Oh, hell.
It's their first.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's their first year. They're
that's
the ones
the one in Tulsa,
that are
right?
up in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So good luck to them on their first year. If you happen to go to either con, write in. Tell us how it was.
Southpawscast@gmail.com.
That's right.
Also, I'm going to say the Invader Zim, Enter the Florpus on Netflix is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
That's my one cool thing for the week.
So apparently you watched the new Rocco thing and you didn't like it?
I started watching it and I found the animation style really off-putting.
Mm-hmm.
So I can be like, it's cool that it exists and I support it existing, but I thought the animation was just a little too gross out for me.
Style of it was around the time of Ren and Stimpy, and
yeah,
it seems very much a product of
I
that
also
era.
Didn't like that.
Yeah, like I watched it a little bit, but I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
And there's sort of a gross out 90s era, like Beavis and Butthead was around that same time.
I mean,
too.
Invader Zim has a little bit of that. Like the gross, like the world is gross and disgusting.
Yeah.
But it just was a step past what I wanted to see. But Invader Zim was fun.
Okay.
And that's my one cool thing for the week. You should watch it on Netflix if you can.
All right. Cool. Oh, my one cool
thing. Oh, what's your one cool thing, Fuzz?
Season 2 of Mindhunters dropped on Netflix.
Oh, and season 3 of The Good Place.
Oh, yeah. I am so behind on that.
That show is really good, y'all.
It is. Yeah, it is a good place.
So, great. On that note, good night.
And buy books.